Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 8th, 99th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie.
Good to see you.
I noticed
you got
rid of the black stripe and the interim thing is gone.
The interim's done.
Can hardly see Woods on the badge.
Yeah, it's official.
Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from Balistar Garcian in 1647. There's no desert like being friendless.
Words of wisdom that carried on to today.
I would imagine that, you know, for you guys, most folks want to be firemen. That are firemen,
mm-hmm.
you know, aspire to, that kind of stuff. Do you ever run into a situation where there's misinterpretation and they see a badge and they go, oh, the cops, oh, the government, and you get to at least understand a little bit about the other side?
Yeah, you can be, you know, somebody will say, oh, you don't be good, especially you'll see it with a parent maybe telling a little kid, you see him out in public, you don't be good, he'll arrest you. I'm a firefighter.
Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. But you need to be good for mom or dad.
Yeah. Still going to be the parent, huh?
Exactly.
Do you see the other side too, Bill, where people go kind of gaga, drooly sloppy on you, and it's almost as uncomfortable at that end also?
Sometimes you'll run into it where, you know, it's like they'll really put you on a pedestal, and you know, we do get, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's fire, we are held to a higher level of expectation because of the jobs we do. But, you know, it's one of those sometimes that people get all excited, and it's like, remember, we're here. For us, a lot of us, it's a calling. It's something we do. But remember, this is the job that we do.
I burn my grilled cheese sandwiches just like you do.
Exactly.
What is the profile of somebody who is a fireman? I mean, I'm sure you guys got your personality profiles with all the checks and stuff. Is there a lot of empathy in there? Is it more somebody who executes a plan, who's a little bit more black and white? What is the ideal fireman?
You know, it tends to be someone, you're looking for someone that, obviously, customer service is the biggest piece. That's the commodity we sell. You know, we don't necessarily produce something that you can go look in a warehouse and say, oh, yeah, there's you know, 20,000 widgets that have been produced. It's customer service. You're looking for people that do have empathy, because quite often we're working with people, we're coming to them in their absolute worst time. They've called for help, and they need help, you know, to being professional, to carry on. You know, it could be anybody that you're working with, and you don't know who it is. You know, but just to be there and maybe help them through a tough time.
How do you avoid presupposing or allowing experience to really take over?
You know, the big piece with it is, if you go into it, any call, any contact, go into it just like it's the first time. It may be the first time they've ever had contact with the fire department. You want them to walk away from that feeling like, you know what? They took care of me. They were courteous. They were professional. You want to hear that as you leave that person.
KINS News and Information Times 819. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Bill, looking at the department and some of the challenges that you guys have got today that weren't there. Police Chief Mills was in on Monday talking about some of the stuff. You guys certainly have had an awful lot of interaction dealing with homeless and those challenges. Before the break, you said don't presuppose. Don't use your experience too much.
Right.
me personally, I'm still a fan of profiling, so this is foreign territory for me. How do you do that? How do you not, if this is the 15th call on this location, this last 2 years, mm-hmm. and they've all been for X,
right?
How do you not go in thinking, you know, I bet you it's going to be for X?
You know, quite often, like if you're responding to the call and whether it's a known address that maybe you've gone there for, you know, 10 heroin ODs, or you're going to a certain area, maybe we're going down behind the mall or something like that, where, okay, here's a chance of what the call is. You know, we may be seeing the exact same thing we saw last week and 3 weeks before that, you know, somebody that's a frequent flyer. But you go to it, we've still got a job to do. You go, you deal with the situation. It may or may not be the same situation that you saw the last three times you've been there. We'll try and deal with the situation in a professional manner on scene. And then depending on the location, if it's a frequent flyer and maybe it's an elderly person that is falling down a lot, they don't have a care provider in the home, we'll try and work then behind the scenes, like with Adult Protective or with the Ombudsman, something like that, to try and help either their family members or try and help them with some sort of an option.
Well, I'm just thinking, so you're not having to run three guys, bells and whistles, mm-hmm. for something as simple as helping somebody up.
Right. I
mean, not that that's not a problem for the individual, but it seems like a inefficient use of the resource.
Right. When, for us, we'll run the call with an engine or the two-person squad or the ladder truck, depending on where the call is and what unit's the closest available.
Well, probably whatever else is going on, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you might have three other calls already running. So whatever unit's available, we'll get them there. If it's a crew of three, or whether it's two, three, or four, we'll get there, we'll deal with the call. And then it gives us the ability, as soon as they're available, they can go to whatever that next call is, whether it be a fire. So that's, you know, we get asked sometimes, well, it's just helping grandma up off the floor. Why did you send three of you in the fire engine? It's because we don't know when that next call is coming. We might literally, grandma's back in bed, we're out of here because we're suiting up to go to a structure fire.
I thought it's because you had herd mentality.
You know.
You travel in packs.
We are a team. Yeah.
And that's probably, I mean, when you say it makes perfect mm-hmm. sense. And I'm sure for most, they go, right. Oh, okay. But it's also three times the investment when there is an event.
It is. You know, you've got the equipment cost, plus you've got the personnel costs that are tied with it. And those tie in with every call, whether it's, you know, whether it's a structure fire, whether it's a medical aid or a lift assist, or whether you're on a transient fire. It's, you've still got that call or that cost regardless.
When you do get the call for something like that, mm-hmm. what kind of call is it? What is it? Does it sound different?
You know, it'll... When somebody calls into 911, the dispatchers that dispatch for us, Eureka Police and Fire Dispatch, they do a really good job of being able to screen. They've got a series of questions they ask a reporting party. You know, they'll verify the location, because if it's a landline, it'll pop up on the screen normally, enhanced 911. They see the address. They'll see the property owner come up on the screen. But if it's like a transfer, maybe from CHP, because it's on a cell phone, they've got to get all of that information. They'll ask what's the nature of the emergency to find out, hey, it's a medical aid, a person's down, not breathing. I see smoke in the green belt. I see smoke and fire from a house. So they run through a series of questions.
So at that point, it becomes prioritized. So
right.
If you guys are responding to somebody on the floor,
right,
you know, going out,
what you're
does
going
that
to.
Then to get gets dispatched to like your two-man truck instead of one of the big boy trucks?
It'll go whatever unit's the closest to handle it.
So it's proximity.
It is because we're looking at how can we get somebody on scene the fastest. Now if we, like in a case, they head out toward like a rubbish fire or maybe a lift assist, code 2 response, no lights and sirens. You know, you get there with the flow of traffic, and another call comes in close, that's a priority call, a person not breathing, an emergency medical call, they'll divert and they'll have the next unit that would have taken that call go to the code 2 call then.
Because of response time.
Because they're closer, yeah.
Are there departments that would go, and I don't know if you'd ever feel comfortable sending a singleton.
Right.
To those types of situations where if it's a lift, say, and you just get one person, and it just is a real simple, easy, almost like, I guess, the equivalent of a PSO.
Right.
Or a meter maid.
Right.
Kind of a thing, rather than a full sworn cop.
Right.
Do fire departments in some jurisdictions have
in
that?
In some jurisdictions they will, but normally they'll send them as a team of two.
Just in case.
That way, I mean, from a liability side, it cuts down the chance of any kind of a dispute of, hey, something inappropriate happened. Now you've got two people there. And then quite often a lift assist, if we're helping somebody back up, quite often they're in an awkward spot. We've had people that slipped and they're wedged between the bathtub and maybe the toilet, the bed and the wall. So quite often it does take a couple of people. And if you've got two or three people on a lift assist, it's easier on their backs. You start reducing your risk of workers' comp injuries.
Do you need... continue after the break. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Bill Gillespie from Humboldt Bay Fire. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Bill, before the break, we were talking about assists, non-emergency assists. Why doesn't it make sense? Let me step back. For most medical aids, do you need three or do you need two?
Quite often you can handle the medical aid with two people on a unit like that. You get into like a CPR case, obviously. The third person really helps out in that, but it can be run with two people.
Not a non-car crash kind of where there's multiples involved.
Exactly. You know, you can address a lot of the things in, I guess you could say, a routine type call. You know, with, like for us, we've over the past year, we have used a unit that's got two people on it. And we've run that, and we've been effective with it. It's interesting, there's been a few calls where it's been radioed, that vehicle is locked up, secured at a location. Because whatever the nature of the call, they maybe got into a CPR case, and they needed to go in for the viability of the victim that they were working on. Both of them would end up in the ambulance, assisting the ambulance paramedic, do CPR and that kind of thing to the hospital.
So you leave the rig there and they go for the drive.
Exactly. They'll lock it up, they'll secure it, and they'll broadcast, two in the ambulance, vehicles located at such and such, secured. And then we can run either another company by, you know, a three-person company, by somebody jumps out, opens it up, drives it to the hospital and leaves it for them. And then they're able to take off, and they're available then.
So you're not sending a secretary out to pick up the rig?
Yeah, okay, no. Yeah.
Well, you'd have a certain sensitivity to that.
Yeah. Now, if we've got another unit available, we'll zip out, and either they'll pick it up and move it there, or if we've got somebody available that's not on a call, maybe if it's a duty officer or something, they might run by and stand by with that vehicle so that things don't disappear, because unfortunately, once in a while, something disappears off of a fire engine.
Perceptions versus realities of what's on there.
Exactly.
Would it make sense? What percentage of you guys' responses are the medical aids that could be handled or are handled by two and other along those lines? Is that half of the load?
We run in our town, and our numbers are actually for a medical aid level are lower than a lot of places per capita. We run about 66 to 67% of our calls are medical related.
And that includes the down and need help up?
Yeah, okay. It does. And then you see a lot of areas, you get down into the Bay Area, a lot of the bedroom communities, they're running, some of them are up into the high 80s, into the 90s.
Well, sure, depending on the age of the community and
exactly.
the dynamics.
Exactly, that's a big piece. We run per capita, we run just because of our architecture, socioeconomic in some cases, a lot of different factors. We run per capita more fires than a lot of fire departments do.
Would you like down the road to be able to have two or three of these small rigs? I don't know what.
Right, right.
I know you guys have got a name for it. I know
yeah.
that I had a
right,
my
right.
name
we,
for it. I've forgotten both
right,
of them.
Right, we refer to our two-person unit at this point as a squad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a wannabe fire truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Because
but
after
have,
all, it doesn't have water or hoses or ladders.
That's the wannabe
yeah,
part. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like maybe out of the Myrtle Grove station that can't handle a big boy truck,
mm-hmm.
okay, put those in there,
right.
and have one or two of those around to
you know,
handle that. I would think that would be efficient.
Where, as we go forward, you know, that's something we always look at. As we go forward, we look at call volumes, and it may come to a point, a threshold where we potentially employ more of those vehicles. You know, we're always going to have.
And they don't
have
to be firemen,
right?
It could
right.
be
exactly
somebody else.
You know,
yeah.
Whether you go, you look at potentially. Well, like with the Affordable Care Act, one of the things that's in pilot program right now in a lot of other areas in Southern California is under the Affordable Care Act, there's essentially an assessment or a fine component to hospitals. If a person goes back into the system for the same thing within a certain period of time, the hospital takes an assessment because of that. And so there's a couple of pilot programs running in Southern California on integrated healthcare where the fire department or an EMS provider works with a hospital. They get a list of discharge people. They do a follow-up with those people. How are your medications doing? Do you need a follow-up visit? Can we help you get a follow-up visit to a clinic?
And that falls on you guys?
That's what they're looking at in a couple of locations, Southern California. And then they work in concert or under contract with the healthcare facility, the hospital, because it's cheaper to pay to have a unit that goes out and does follow-up rather than to pay the fine under the Affordable Care Act. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But it's the world that we're having to look at and adapt to. I mean,
yeah, the sands are shifting underneath.
Yeah.
And I wow.
So, I mean, it's something we're watching right now to see, does that become another one of these units? Does that become part of our reality in the greater Eureka area?
Which would give you more flexibility in the long term so the community might benefit.
Right.
Depending on who pays the fare for
exactly.
those folks on board.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back down to that money thing, huh?
That's what drives so many different directions.
It drives so many fire trucks. I
yes.
heard you. I heard what you were saying.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Bill, considering some of the challenges that are going on, the changes in fire service, in emergency service, and medical response, how do you anticipate the future? I mean, when you're projecting 5 years down the road, what is Humble Bay Fire's needs, other than that firehouse out in Cutton?
Okay, right,
fine,
right.
That's a given.
Right.
How do you look out for that stuff if so much is being driven by insurance, by the healthcare industry,
right.
by federal government, but by state government. I mean, things you don't have an awful lot of influence on.
Right, right. You know, one of the biggest things, obviously, we look at for us, we look at our call volume trend, okay? We, just this past year, 2015, for the first time, we crossed 6,000 calls for service in the greater Eureka area for Humboldt Bay Fire. That's the most we've ever run. And I don't see those numbers going down, you know, as a whole bunch of different factors. Population isn't changing a lot here, but yet the population is changing. We've got the baby boomers. Now we've got the Gen X, the other generations. As they age, there's going to be more of a healthcare need. So that's going to potentially drive some of our medical calls, those numbers up. You know, we go through, we're still going to see the fires here. The numbers of fires through the years have slowly been dropping. Some of the changes with sprinklers, new construction or remodels, or sprinklers are being driven at the state level.
I thought you were going to just say we've had enough fires, so those that burn have already burned.
Well, there are a few of those, but we try not to.
What about the squatters and the transient population? I know the medical aides have driven you mm-hmm. and your predecessors bonkers over the last 30, 40 years that we've been doing this thing. Is that continuing to be a very active subpopulation of the community? And I guess the way to say it is, if you weren't having to respond to them, how much of that 6,000 disappears?
You know, we do make a lot of calls that are transient related in the course of a year. A lot of runs down behind the Bayshore Mall in that location. And even to the point, as we've talked in the past, even to the point now that at request of the police department, we don't respond in like we used to in the past. We respond in with a police officer because of the number of weapons that have been at times in the past found down there. But we're down there pretty regularly, especially the station over at Henderson and Ocean over there, Station 3. They're right up the hill. And whether it's a medical aid, you know, the North 40, the Palco Marsh, they're off the foot of Vigo. They were out there the other day for a transient camp. A couple of weeks ago, folks probably remember, we went down for the two toilets that had been placed by the Harbor District to try and keep human waste out of the bay. We responded down early in the morning to those on fire.
Didn't last too long, did it?
No, unfortunately, it didn't. And, you know, I mean, it's a pretty decent cross-section of the calls we run throughout the community.
Do all fire departments have that responsibility?
Pretty much every place that I'm familiar with is responding to some level or another of transient calls that they're dealing with folks, because we've got it here, but we've got it in other locations as well. I know Fortuna's got an increasing problem. You get into the Bay Area, they've got problems in a lot of communities.
It was the percentage.
Yeah.
Do we have a higher percentage? Not the
I think currently we probably do, especially especially in the county. We're the county seat and we're the spot where all the services are at. And that tends to hold people closer because they don't have the ability to travel in from McKinleyville or Orrick or Point South into Eureka and then cycle back and forth. So they stay here close.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.